So just to start, I wanted to again see if there's any comments or reports about maybe a little lower. Yeah, maybe the volume itself. Yeah. Let's try. Yeah, that maybe, is that better? Can you hear me? Okay. So just to see if there's any comments or reports about what happened last week in your practice or with any of the exercises, if anybody has anything to say about that.
I was surprised at how often I push away emotion. It's as though I want them to only experience them when I'm ready for it. It's like, oh, I haven't got time for this right now. So that it'll be like an emotional calm and I'll be aware of it, but instead of really being there for it, for even a little bit, it won't fit in my schedule. And I caught myself edging it out, and it was like, oh. You know, so I had to sort of make a little bit more room because everything, you know, I was booting things out so quickly.
Could everyone hear what she said? Did you notice particularly whether it was more positive or negative emotions that happened with, or was it equal? Or?
It was probably more negative emotions. But I caught myself doing it with positive emotions too. I've been in an unusual situation where I've been encountering a lot of people recently. It's my cat is missing, and so I put up these big signs and had taken some leaflets door to door. And around that, it's when you have a being that is, you know, this being in your everyday life. There's, you know, it's really not a wonderful feeling. But people have been so kind around me leaving a leaflet at their door and telling them that I can't find my cat, and would they call me if they see my cat? And they're sympathetic, they're kind, they're giving, and sometimes I found myself, you know, I would feel it and feel bathed in it, but then there was a little bit of like maybe pushing away from it as if I didn't deserve it, mm-hmm. as if I should be wallowing in grief. And then I had to slap myself about that. Like, oh, that was good. You know? So it was just this funny seesaw.
Yeah. Could everybody hear what she said? Could raise your hand if you could not. Okay. It's true that we do have that kind of relationship with our emotions, and it's so crucial to look at what our relationship to our emotions is. You know, are we feeling like we don't deserve something, or like we should be feeling something? It's really helpful to start to look at those things. So that's great that you saw that. And I think what you saw about pushing away emotions of not having time, that's really, really common in our culture also. You know, a lot of us have that feeling of don't have time for this, got too much to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
One of the questions I came away with after we met last week was, what is the relationship between feelings and emotions? Because recently for me, I've realized that I can feel feelings, but emotion to me, in some respects, is a little bit of a enigma, almost.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by feeling? She said that she's wondering about the relationship between feeling and emotion, and that she can feel feelings, but emotions are a bit of an enigma. So I'm curious, what do you mean by feeling?
To me, feelings in terms of a bodily sensation, mm-hmm. I guess it's almost like an undercurrent that is much more easy to, perhaps this relates to what I've just been hearing from you, to divert my attention and get on with something else, something apparently necessary, something needed, some day-to-day issues. And this was a question for me last week. So we finished up and I didn't have time to ask it, so I thought, well, I better pay some attention to it. And some things came up in my life that forced me to not just feel some feelings, but feel some emotions. And it was the bereavement of somebody that I used to be very close to. And so it's been an interesting dance for me to start to feel emotion as it really comes up, and to start to understand what that relationship is between feelings and emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Having spent time in my years before when very serious things have happened and I just shut them out and not really experience the emotions, but I think this practice allow me to get a little bit more intimate with my own emotions.
It does that. When I started this practice, I mean, I came into the practice through anger, so that was kind of obvious. But in general, as I was practicing, emotions were not very obvious to me. I also could feel bodily sensations. And my understanding of the connection between the two is that very much an emotional state or mood of the mind will reverberate through the body and will produce bodily sensations. So there's an intimate connection between the mind and the body that way. And often, at least what I found initially, was that I could feel bodily sensations that seemed to be associated with an emotion, but I had no clue what the emotion was. I just had no clue. And I remember, in fact, on one retreat where I was in an interview with Gil, and he was asking me about my feelings, and I was describing my feelings, and he said, no, your feelings. He used different words. I can't remember at this point. And again, I said, oh, well, they were, you know, pressure and pulsing. And and the third time he said, what were your emotions? And I was like, I have no idea. I just had no clue what my emotions were. So he basically instructed me, you know, see if you can attend to your emotions, understand what your emotions are. And it was very difficult for a long time to really understand, you know, oh, I'm feeling happiness. Oh, I'm feeling anger. Oh, I'm feeling disappointment or frustration. It just wasn't so clear. I was very clear about the bodily sensations, but not so clear about the emotions. So it can take time for some of us, especially. Some people seem to really have a real good grasp of their emotions, and, you know, they just understand them, and I was not one of them. So there is hope, I have to tell you. I mean, I do have much more of a sense of my emotions now. Although there are definitely still times when I really do have to just come back and say, well, something's happening. You know, I don't know what's happening. And often I'll try to use a very general kind of note. Like yesterday, I was feeling some strange feeling, some strange emotion. And I couldn't really tell what it was, but I could feel that I was agitated. There was an agitation there around whatever was happening. And so I paid attention to the agitation and the bodily sensations associated with the agitation. So just whatever is obvious about the emotion is where to put our attention, not necessarily trying to figure it out. You know, well, this is the situation I'm in, and these are the feelings I'm feeling, so, well, maybe it's fear or maybe it's frustration. You know, that kind of analysis isn't so helpful. But just to be with what's obvious about the emotion and the bodily sensations. And I've found, actually, that the bodily sensations are a pretty good door to the emotions. That eventually, over time, understanding and resting with the bodily sensations, when I knew there was an emotion going on, it becomes more clear over time. The other thing I want to just bring up, since you mentioned the word feelings, feeling in Buddhist terminology has a kind of specific meaning. The word has been, you know, taken and, you know, kind of co-opted to mean this specific thing. And what it typically means is whether the experience we're having is pleasant, unpleasant, or neither pleasant or unpleasant. And those three tones are present with every experience, bodily sensation or mental experience. And it's a very powerful place to turn our attention, especially I found it very powerful in my situation, not really being able to understand emotions. I could really see, oh, well, this is unpleasant, or this is pleasant. So that was a really wonderful place for me to rest my attention as well, in just the basic understanding of pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. So those are some of my thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm. I find that, I don't know, frequently, but often I will have a sensation in my body, and sometimes it's not associated with an emotion, but it can be, you know, I can mistake it for an emotion. and it's my mind has a propensity for, you know, negative analysis, and so I have to be very careful about running away with something that really has nothing to do with what's really going on. So
that's a very good comment. I'll just paraphrase what he said. He said sometimes he feels a bodily sensation that doesn't necessarily have to do with any emotion, and yet it can sometimes be confused with an emotion, and he has a kind of propensity for analysis of what's happening, and he said a negative analysis, but and can kind of run away with trying to, or he actually kind of fool himself. Now here I'm really paraphrasing, fool himself into thinking there is an emotion associated with that feeling, when there maybe it has nothing to do with anything else. It's just some kind of random sensation coming up. It's a very, very helpful thing to see, especially noticing the tendency towards that analysis. I mean, there can almost be a desire or a pull towards that analysis. And it's like, I've got to figure this out.
My natural inclination is right. That, so I have to stop myself and say, no, just pay attention to the sensation.
The other thing you can do is see if you can notice the wanting to do that. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes in that saying no, it depends on how you do it. I mean, if you're saying it with an aversion, like, no, don't want to do that, it can actually kind of keep it going. And so I found often it's helpful to let myself be with that kind of, you know, that wanting or even that sense of churning that goes with the analysis. And really see, oh, you know, this is an unpleasant state. This thing that's happening is unpleasant. And as you start to see the unpleasantness, the mind kind of naturally lets go of it.
It seems like it's a very quick reaction to having to move into a problem-solving space quickly, which is like, you know, I'm feeling this, that means this emotion, that means these things are wrong, and boom, now I'm in the, what did they say, I said, what did I do? And
it does, it happens like that, it's amazing. So yeah, I mean, you can't always catch it, you can't always catch that wanting, and in that case, you know, just noticing, oh, I'm in the midst of this, this storm, or whatever it is. But thank you for bringing that up. Okay, so we'll start with, or we'll continue with a guided meditation. So in this we'll spend some period of time really settling. And then, again, I'm going to suggest an exercise to do with looking at thoughts. So at some point, I'll suggest that you actually do something in your meditation. But until then, we'll just kind of settle and do the practice that we've been doing. So take a comfortable, reasonably comfortable upright and alert posture. And gently close your eyes. And start by taking a few long, slow, deep breaths. Connect to the body and a sense of presence on the in-breath. And see if you can let go and relax on the out-breath. Let your breathing return to normal. And let your attention open to hearing. To the sounds in the room, the sound of my voice, sounds outside the room. Sounds internal to your body. See if you can just let the sounds appear and disappear. There's no need to work to hear. The sounds appear on their own. You never know what next sound will appear. Now bring your attention into the body, to the bodily sensations, and feel your body as a whole, a sense of presence, of uprightness. And within the sensations of the body, become aware of the sensations that let you know that you're breathing. Let your attention rest on the in-breath and the out-breath. if some other sensation becomes predominant, or there's a tension between staying with the sensations of breathing and some other object, let go of the breathing and just turn your attention to whatever that is. If the mind wanders, acknowledge that it has wandered. And simply come back to paying attention to the breath or whatever is most predominant in your experience. for the next 5 minutes of the sitting, I'd like to suggest that you resolve to observe the thought process. For these 5 minutes, count each thought as it arises. Thoughts can be words or pictures or a combination. Let your mind be like a blank, clear screen or an open space, and just wait to count each thought, like a cat at a mouse hole. After noticing and counting a thought, just wait for the next one. Don't be fooled by them. Some of them are very soft whispers, like there's not much thinking happening. Count each one of them. They may hide a bit when you're first watching, but they will come. If you find yourself waking up in the midst of an elaborate story, just count it as one thought and go on with the thought game. And there's no need to count the counting as a thought. letting go of the thoughts. For the last minute of the sitting, return your attention to the sensations of breathing. See how completely and thoroughly you can let your awareness be present for the sensations of breathing in and the sensations of breathing out. So what did you notice in that exercise?
Yeah. I just after a few seconds it was impossible to keep count for that. But then I was thinking of counting them, and as I'm doing that I'm analyzing that. So it was such a ripple effect with that that I just see
that. Yeah, that can happen. It's just you really see just how the thoughts proliferate off of thoughts. It's okay actually to think about the breath while you're meditating. I mean, it's at least bringing the thoughts together with what's happening. So. Some teachers, actually, Tan Jeff, a Thai monk, he teaches actually to think about the breath as part of the practice, you know, to actually pay attention to it with the thoughts as well as with the feelings. I don't tend to emphasize that too much, but you know, if you're actually thinking about the breath, and you know, it that's okay. You know, it'll settle after a while.
Yes.
Yes. Well, you know, you notice that the sense doors don't shut off because you're paying attention to the breath. So, you know, while you're paying attention to the breath, you're going to notice bodily sensations, you're going to notice sounds, smells, and thoughts are kind of that way too. You will notice those thoughts. And that's why I kind of like to talk about the foreground and background of experience. So if you are able to basically stay with the sensations of breathing, you can just stay there, you know, and just let this other stuff happen in the background. That's okay. Any other comments about the...
I noticed... usually I've had trouble recognizing my thoughts unless they're screaming at me. I can be very self-critical. And of course, there's lots of emotions mixed up in it. This is the first time I've recognized really soft thoughts. There's no emotion tied up in it. It's very quiet. It's very easy to miss.
That's definitely true. Yeah, thoughts can be very, very subtle. Very, very subtle. And so what actually I've discovered kind of as the mind gets quieter, I mean, like there's this kind of noisy chatter in the mind, and that will settle. But then there's this almost, as I was doing the exercise, there was kind of this underlying, almost non-English kind of feeling of just, you know, some beings talking or something. I don't know. And, you know, it's just, it's some subtle kind of mental thing happening. And then, you know, there would be a thought, oh, was that a thought? Okay, that was obvious. You know, that was an obvious thought. So yeah, thoughts can get really, really, really subtle. And it takes some time for them to really settle, but it's great to just see it. So it's great that you could see that. That's actually one of the real benefits of this exercise, to begin to see our thoughts when they're not screaming at us. So great, thanks.
There are times when my mind seems to really be in the forefront, in the foreground, and I find myself sort of struggling with it, you know, to try to stay with that. And it's as if the thoughts or my mind fools me that the thoughts are going away, but they're really not. It's as if there's a layer between in my head between my perception, connection with my body. It's like I don't feel as connected, and I'm very quick to get distracted. And I don't have terms to really describe it very well. It's the best way I can describe it is a barrier between connecting with my body or connecting with being present.
Uh-huh.
And when my mind is settled or when I am settled, and that tends to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the difference between when I'm having thoughts and when I'm not, are more clear.
So this is a real leap from what you said. Did everybody hear what he said?
No.
No, okay. Let's see if I can paraphrase it. So he said that he finds there are times when the mind is kind of in the foreground, and he struggles with staying present for the breath. And I wasn't quite clear on whether that's when thinking is happening or...
struggling with... It's like there'll be thoughts that are distracting and being...
So you're easily distracted at that point.
Or by myself having been distracted by thoughts. And so I put more effort into staying with the breath. And I have the perception of the thoughts having gone away, but now I'm not connected with my breathing,
I see.
My body,
okay.
And I have this sense that they're not really gone.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. So there's a sense like almost that his mind is fooling him that the thoughts are gone, but he feels like so. Okay. The mind is settled. He's brought his attention much more clearly back to the breathing, and it feels like the thoughts have gone away, but there's not a real sense of connection with the experience, and it feels like well maybe the thoughts haven't really gone away. And I'm wondering, you know, there can be sometimes when it almost feels like what's between you and the experience is, it's like a layer of immediate thoughts about the experience, you know, so that you're really experiencing the sensations through a kind of very subtle level of thoughts about it, so that there's that disconnection. That does that resonate with you, or?
Somewhat it's... The experience is not as articulate
mm-hmm.
as that. Okay, in a sense, I can't, you know, point to thoughts going on or even images. It's more of a sense of tension.
Uh huh.
It's just you're having tug of war with something. So there's a sense of struggling with something.
So are you able to just? Have you tried just resting with that struggle? That just feeling of struggle. You could try that. Because that's kind of what's happening in the moment. It's just, what does it feel like to be struggling? That's something a lot of us do. So just, yeah, see if you can just feel that struggle. And not necessarily try to pay attention to the breath or, you know, find thoughts, but just, what does it feel like? Is this pleasant or unpleasant? That's something I come back to often when I really am confused. Is this pleasant or unpleasant? Or neither? Did people notice different types of thoughts, whether they were auditory or visual? What kind of,
I was surprised to get several fleeting images. One of a house I was living in 10 years ago, a trip I made 20 years ago, just these very vivid, sudden, come and then gone images, which I wouldn't have expected because I hadn't been thinking about those things at all. And I guess they just sort of churned their way up.
That's what the mind does. One of the things it does is produces thoughts. Yep. Yeah, that's great to see them, to see the images. Because, I'm sorry? Yes, it is. It's random access. And, you know, it's just something, you know, it's just made its time to appear.